Scripture reading this morning is taken from Psalms 26, and I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Psalms 26. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity and have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and my mind. For your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness. I do not sit with the men of falsehood, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I hate the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in the innocence and go around your altar, O Lord, proclaiming thanksgiving aloud and telling of all your wondrous deeds. O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Do not sweep my soul away as sinners, or my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands are evil devices and whose right hands are full of bribes. But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me, for my foot stands on level ground, and in the great assembly I will bless the Lord.
How good it is to see you this morning.
Amen.
Whenever we look at David's psalm here, it's really a prayer that he's offering to God. And whenever you get into it, you start to notice that David, in a way, is asking God to audit his heart and his life. You notice what he says. He says, "Examine me, O Lord," verse 2, "and prove me, test me, try my mind, and try my heart. Look into it, God, and see what I'm really about." Now, that takes a bit of boldness. When we think of someone having to examine our lives, if it's a superficial examination, it may not be so bad, but thinking that they're going to poke around at all the nooks and crannies of our life, that might make us a bit squeamish. But with David here, he asked God to do it, and he asked God to do it with great confidence. In fact, he says in the very beginning of it, he says, "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted in the Lord. I shall not slip." He's asking for this divine scrutiny and this redemption. He's asking God to prove him and to show that he's not how wicked men are. And of course, then it makes us wonder, how could David say this? Wasn't he the one who committed adultery with another man's wife? Isn't he the one then that tried to conceal then that pregnancy by then bringing the man home and getting him drunk and trying to get him to sleep with his wife so that they could all be covered up, thinking the child then was the other man's? And when that didn't work, he then had the man put on the front lines of the battle so that he would be killed. And when he was killed, then he quickly marries the woman that he had committed adultery with. Again, trying to keep it all hidden. How could this man then say before God, "Take an audit of my life and my heart, and know that I stand before you honest, that I have walked in your truth"? Whenever I read this, what I see in that is encouragement. Because which one of us could honestly stand before God and say that we are perfect? None of us can. Whenever we look at David, though, why is it that David could stand before God and say with confidence that he had walked in God's ways, even though he knew that he had committed some grievous sins? In fact, he says that his sins were ever before him. I don't believe David ever forgot his sins. I don't believe that David could forget. His first child died. And then God had told him that because of all this, the sword would never leave his house. And David knew nothing but war then, all of his days. And it wasn't just war with other nations. In his household, there were problems. We looked at recently with Absalom, right? His son that tried to kill him. But David could stand here and say this confidently. Because what did he do whenever his sin was brought before him? Which took a while, mind you. He was enrolled in this sin for quite a while. months and months, it seems. And then Nathan comes to him, the prophet, and tells him the story, right? In which David has a righteous reaction to this man that has stolen the lamb, the rich man who has stolen the little ewe lamb of the poor man, and sacrificed it for his friends. David has a righteous indignation toward this, and he is correct in his judgment. Of course, we know what Nathan says to him, those famous words, David, thou art the man. David doesn't try to defend himself. David doesn't offer excuse. David gives himself over to mourning. And David pleads with God for forgiveness because David knows that he has done wrong. You see, that's how David could do this. Because David set to make things right. Whenever he realized what he was doing was wrong, he asked God for forgiveness and he sought to make the things right. And part of what he pled, whenever he was found guilty before God, he pled with God that God would not forsake him and that he would not be separated from God. See, David didn't want to be separated from God. Oftentimes, when men sin because they want to actively rebel against God. And whenever God then demands that they come and repent, they do so begrudgingly because they really don't want to be with God. They don't really want to have to bend their will to Almighty God. David had no problems with that. David bent his will to Almighty God, and he wanted to be with God. This is why he's a man after God's own heart. And it pained him to think that because of his errors and because of his sins, that he could then be separated from God. You remember what he said in Psalm 51, right? Beginning about verse 10. He said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." He said, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. But restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." He didn't want to be separated from God. He made a mistake. But David sought to make it right. And David wanted to have his relationship with God restored. He wanted it repaired. He wanted it rectified. Because that's really not who David was ultimately in the end. I mean, as he goes on to say, he says, "I have not sat with idolatrous mortals." He has not sat with idolatrous men, nor does he go into the way of the hypocrites. He hates the assembly of the evildoers, and he will not sit with the wicked. That's not the type of man David is, and part of his evidence for that is because that's not the company he keeps. Those are not the people that he associates with, and those are not the people that he wants to associate with. Whenever he was in the presence of Goliath, the pagan Philistine, what did he do? He called him out for what he was. And he couldn't believe that someone would stand there blaspheming the one true God, his God. He defended God. He goes on to say that he has washed his hands in innocence because he has sought forgiveness, hasn't he, in all of it. He says, "I will go before your altar, proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving. I will tell of your wondrous works." You see, that's something else about David. David didn't try to hide his relationship with God. David didn't try to keep his faith a secret. And he proclaimed God's wondrous works, and he gave thanksgivings to God just in his daily life. I mean, we see it in the Psalms. I mean, the man was inspired, obviously, so he had that advantage. And he wrote down these beautiful Psalms and such. But David, just in the way that he lived, he proclaimed God. For instance, again, whenever you see him go before Goliath the Philistine, David didn't have any plans to do this. David, though, was confronted with this, and he met it head on with righteousness and with truth. How can we stand for this? Is his reaction to all of this? It's just the way that he lived. He didn't really have to give it much thought. And so, I say all of this because I wish to give ourselves a bit of insight into who we really are and either comfort, if that's what you need, or afflict, if that's what you need. Because whenever it comes to our relationship with God, sometimes we think, well, I'm having a good relationship with God because I'm not struggling with something right now. I feel really strong right now. But then there are other times that we maybe feel far removed from God because we are struggling. And I'd like for us to understand that all of God's people have always struggled. David, that great hero of faith, he struggled with things. But what did David do? And this can give you some insight into what do you do with this. Whenever you are struggling with something, does it bother you? Do you wish you wouldn't do that? Do you hate that it puts a wedge between you and God? Do you miss that closeness that you had with God while you were strong? Do you hate that it hurts the people around you, the people that God has placed in your charge, or the people of your family? That it would hurt your congregation, possibly. That it would maybe give a bad name to the name Christian. Does it bother you? Or does it not bother you? If it does bother you, my friend, I hope that you understand that your heart's not far gone. And you're trying to do what's right, and that take courage in that, and know that God wants to help you get back up and wants you to come to Him. Just like with David, God didn't write David off. God sent Nathan to David so that David could be restored. If he wanted to wipe David away, he could have done that easily, but he didn't do that. God doesn't want to wipe you away either. He wants you to be restored to Him. You can stop and take an audit of your own heart, because I think that's part of what David has done. David has already looked into his own heart and he has searched his heart. How could he do this? Well, because of God's word, that's how. David has searched and he has sought and he has tried to find who he really is, and I believe that he has found the answer, is that though he has sinned and though he has at times done what is wrong, he knows that he is dedicated to God and he wants to do what is right. And my friend, can that be said of you? I like to believe that. Yes. There's a reason why you've come here, and there's a reason why you continue to come. Even though at times it's hard, even though at times it may not be easy, but you still come and you continue to wear the name Christian and you continue to try to do what's right and you continue to make resolutions. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to study my Bible more. My friend, does that not give insight into who you might really be? That you do love God. And you do want to have that relationship with Him. And you continue to try to fight against what is evil and what is wrong because you want to do what is honest and true because you love God and because you love Christ and because you love the Holy Spirit. My friend, that's who you are. What we must understand and what we must realize is that as long as we continue in this life, we will struggle. The only time in which you will not struggle when you've made it is whenever you are standing before the Almighty in heaven. Whenever you are in heaven. That's whenever we've made it. And that's whenever the battle is over. And that's whenever the struggle is over. And there's no more pain. There's no more sorrow. There's no more temptation. There's no more tribulation. But while we're yet here, there is going to be struggle. Because you remember what Jesus told His disciples. Though the spirit may indeed be willing, the flesh is weak. And we can't separate from our flesh. And we make mistakes then. What do we try to do? We try to do what's right. And we welcome God to examine our hearts and all the recesses and to show who we really are. Not afraid, because we don't sit with idolatrous mortals. We hate the assembly of evildoers. We do not go the way of the hypocrites. That's not who we are. We don't sit with the wicked. But we sit amongst God's people, and we seek our very best to be in His assembly and do what He would have us to do. here and in private. And so as David goes on to say, look at what he says. He says in verse 8, he says, Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. I think whenever David says all this, he's not speaking just exclusively like when he goes to the temple and worships, or, you know, well, the temple wasn't built then, but whenever he goes to worship God formally. I mean, David loves being with God to worship at any time he can. And again, there may be times whenever you coming to church right now, it may be hard. I'll be quite honest with you, it's hard for my family to come to church right now. Not because we don't want to, but mornings don't work for my wife. Her eyes, even though we start at 9, it's hard. And then her eyes are going to be swollen then for the next couple of days. We have kids, little kids, which I know a lot of y'all have little babies. That's hard. But why do you come? Because you love God. And because you know those little ones need to hear about God and His love. And so you continue to come. Even though it hurts, your back hurts, it's hard to get out, you don't feel great always, but why do you do it? Because you love God. And this is just how it is at the moment. But it'll get better. It'll get better. That's how I see it. It'll get better. And so you love the habitation of the house of the Lord. That's why you come. You love God and you love the place where His glory dwells. He says, and he goes on to say then to the Lord, he says, do not then gather my soul with the sinners, nor my life with the bloodthirsty men, in whose hands is a sinister scheme, and whose right hand is full of bribes. David says, Lord, don't lump me in with those other characters, because that's not who I am. Not only in this life, but in the life to come, that is in eternity. Lord, gather me with the people that are the righteous, the people that love you. And is that not our plea with God? Is that in the end we will be gathered together with those of like precious faith, that we will be gathered with the righteous before God, and we're not going to be thrown then with the sinister and with the wicked and those who hate God? Because we don't hate God. We love God. We make mistakes, but we admit that it's a mistake. And we seek to make it right. And we're honest that things are hard sometimes, but we still do it, and we keep keeping on. And we do it with joy, though. Why? Because all will be well in a little while. All will be well in a little while. And he says, but as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful to me. My foot stands in an even place. In the congregations, I will bless the Lord. Can that be said of you? I hope that it can. But your foot is on sure ground. You stand upon truth. You stand upon the rock. Because you have dug deep in your life and you have dug deep in your heart to get down to that rock. And to build your life, to build your house, as the wise man did, on Christ. And that's what you have sought to do. Again, we do our best to build. We make some mistakes. And there's repairs that have to be made. But that's part of life. That's part of this life. And that just further proves what you're really about. Because you keep going back and you keep making repairs to this house that you've built upon Jesus Christ, upon the rock. You're not going to let it go down. You're not going to let it fall. You're not going to let it be shabby. You're going to keep going out there and you're going to keep tending to it and doing what is right. That's who you are. God be praised and God be thanked. But there are good people like that. But there are good-hearted people who love God. And I believe that people like that dwell here. Why don't you pray with me for just a moment? Lord, our heavenly and all-righteous Father, Lord, we come to you with complete humility this morning. Lord, we know that we are not perfect before you. Lord, as we understand and know from your holy word, if we were to stand before you completely right now in our current state, we could not stand, that we would be annihilated. But Lord, we pray that you will redeem us, that you will shed us, you will cleanse us with the shed blood of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and that you will truly forgive us. And help us, Father, to know that and understand that you want to forgive us and that we are forgiven if we come before you sincerely. And Lord, we pray that you will continue to help us in our struggle to do what is right and do what is good. And that we will have courage to be like David, and that we will be completely honest with ourselves. Search your scriptures and search your word to see who we are, so that you can then search our hearts, and that we can know, and that we can stand before you with confidence, Father. And that we will stand up and be bold and be brave to always give thanksgiving for you and give praise to you, and that we will not hide our faith in any way. And that whenever times are hard again, that we will continue on fighting the good fight, running the race, and you'll give us the strength to make it to the end. But Lord, in all of this, you know that we are weak, and we pray that you would protect us from the evil one, and that you will keep him far from us, and you'll keep us close to you and close to each other, so that we can make it to the end with safety, security. We love you, Lord, in your Son's most holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
My dear friend, this morning, you may feel that you are struggling, or it's hard for you, but we've all been there in some form or fashion. And God has brought us together as a part of his kingdom, part of his body, part of his family, so that we can help each other in that way. And if you're ailing right now, we ask that you would implore you to come and ask for the prayer of the saints. Let us know how we can help you so that our body can be whole and complete and continue to grow. If you need to come to Jesus, you have been baptized for the remission of your sins, there's a wonderful opportunity today. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?